It's always a great joy to pray for children because they are the closest things that we can see to heaven on this earth. The clearest eyes, undefiled by purity, impurity or pride, you see in a child. As we grow up in this world, our eyes and our heart is defiled first, and then it affects our eyes. The Bible speaks of eyes full of adultery. We always thought adultery was in the heart, but it manifested in the eyes. The Bible speaks about haughty eyes. But you look at a child, there's nothing of that. Zero impurity. Zero pride. And that's why Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like this, and the greatest in God's kingdom are like little children. And I've often meditated on the thoughts that could be passing through a child's mind, a little baby especially, maybe a month old lying in a crib. I think, what type of thoughts are going through that child's mind? Zero high thoughts. Zero critical thoughts about other people. Zero judgmental thoughts. And I say, Lord, you told me to be like a little child. I want to be like that. It's a battle because we have corrupted ourselves for so many years with the evils of things around us, our own nature. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, the wonderful news for those who want to hear it is that in our hearts we can be like little children again. It's a paradox. In innocence, like little children, and yet in wisdom, like mature men. That's what it says. In understanding, be men, but in evil, be like little children. So there's a lot we can learn from little children. Don't think you can only learn from apostles who preach in pulpits. You've heard me say before how Jesus said there are two ways in which you can find him on this earth. I mean in living people. One is Matthew chapter 10. Jesus spoke to his 12 apostles. And there are apostles in the world today as well. Very few. There are some. And Jesus said to those 12 apostles in Matthew 10 verse 40, "He who receives you receives me." That's one way to receive Jesus Christ, to receive an apostle. But it's very rare to find an apostle. So what's the next way to receive him? Matthew chapter 18. And verse 5. "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me." So you don't have to go looking for an apostle to receive Jesus. You just got to look for a little child. But you got to receive that child in Jesus' name. And that applies to parents when we receive a child. You know, in India there's a great eagerness as soon as the baby is delivered to find out, is it a boy? Oh, it's a girl. How sad. That's not receiving a child in Jesus' name. That is being influenced by the corrupt culture of heathenism in the world. One would almost think God makes boys and the devil makes girls. It's all right if ungodly people believe like that. not saying what you say. We know what's the right thing to say, but what are the thoughts that go through our mind? Can you bow before God and say, God, you know what's best for me. I don't know what's good for me. If you give me 6 girls, that's fine. That's your choice. I'll bring them up to be living witnesses in their generation for you, to prophesy. We're not under the old covenant. In the new covenant, it says your sons and your daughters will prophesy. So, there's no difference. If you have a daughter, you can make her prophesy. Be a witness for Christ. And if you have a son, you can make him prophesy. Why does God give us children? In the book of Malachi, it says, Malachi in chapter 2, speaks about how in those days, in the last days of the Jewish age, there were a lot of men who were unfaithful to their wives. And he speaks about them in Malachi 2, verse 14. The Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Why does he call a person wife of your youth? It's a great expression. That means even if you're 90 years old, you must look at your wife the way you saw her when she was young and attractive, and you chose her. The wife of your youth. She's 85 years old today, never mind. She's the wife of your youth. But it's very easy to be treacherous towards your wife after a while. And that's what the Lord is speaking. He says, what was the Lord seeking? But not one has done that who has a remnant of the Spirit. Even if you have a little bit of the Holy Spirit, you'll never do that. You'll never be treacherous to your wife. And he says, why did God make you one? Here's one translation of the middle of verse 15. Why did he make you one? Because he was seeking a godly offspring. Why did he make you one with your wife or husband? Because he wanted a godly offspring. Do you know that God wants that? That's why, I mean, you may have got married to your wife because you fell in love with her, or vice versa, or any other reason like that, or because you thought, well, I suppose I have to get married, I'm getting old. But God didn't unite you for that purpose. God united you that you might have a godly offspring. And once you see that, the two very important phrases there, the wife of your youth and a godly offspring. Malachi 2, verse 14, companion and wife of your youth. Beautiful expressions that if we would keep before us, it would make our marriages more glorious, and it would make us work together to bring up godly offspring. Like someone has said, the best thing you can do for your children is to love your wife. It's true. Love your husband. Because it's the fellowship between husband and wife, as it is more and more spiritual and godly, then the children can grow up in that atmosphere. So preserve that relationship. Recognize, always look at your wife as the wife of your youth. It doesn't say so much about the husband of your youth, but I presume it's the same. And children, God's given you children so that they can be brought up in a godly way. This is so much emphasized in the Old Testament too. You know, they have the annual Passover in the Jewish homes, where they would sit around and celebrate the day when many hundreds of years earlier their forefathers were delivered from Egypt. And there was a ritual they had to go through. It's written in the books of Moses. The son has to ask, Dad, what does this mean? He's taught to ask that question. And the father has to explain what the Lord did and delivered our forefathers. Otherwise, we'd be slaves in Egypt today. And so, it's like that. We need to explain to our children, what is salvation all about? Why is it we don't cheat in examinations? Why is it we don't tell lies like others? Why is it our daughters don't dress up in fashionable ways and immoral ways like worldly people? Why don't we go to the movie theater? These are questions we have to explain. Why is it certain television shows we just don't watch in our home? Why is it certain types of music we don't have in our home? So, we have to explain to children. We live in a world where children pick up so many bad habits in school. That just like you bathe your children when they come home, or they bathe themselves because they've accumulated a lot of dirt, even if they've been extremely careful, you don't have to wallow in the mud to be dirty. You just got to walk through the road on a hot, dusty day. You come home dirty. However careful you may have been, this perspiration comes out of your body, dirt that comes on. That's why we take a bath, a shower. So it's like that in the world. You cannot walk in this world without getting dirty. That's the meaning of Jesus washing the feet. He told his disciples, you need to bathe only once, but you need to wash your feet. I mean, spiritually speaking, you need to wash your feet more often. In John chapter 13. Verse 10. He who has bathed, Jesus said, John 13:10, needs only to wash his feet. That means you're born again once, but you need to cleanse yourself every day. In those days, they walked with sandals, and every single day their feet were dirty. Every single day. That's how it must be. That's what we need to. That's why we need to help our children whenever they come back from school to find out, did they pick up some bad words in school today? Did they bring back any books given by their friends, which are not good for them to read? Any pictures, perhaps? Do you look into the school bags of your children? We used to do that regularly. They don't know. They're not evil. They're made evil by other friends. The Bible says, don't be deceived, 1 Corinthians 15. Bad company corrupts good manners, corrupts good people. So, we're living in a time where the Bible warns us especially, and whenever the Bible warns something that's always happened throughout the history of the human race, but it's going to be especially bad in the last days, we got to be alert to that. Let me show you one of those things in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1, it's speaking about the last days. Those are times in which we live. And the Living Bible paraphrases this verse as, in the last days it's going to be difficult to be a Christian. That's the point. It's not that all these things mentioned here about lovers of self. Men have always been lovers of self right from the time of Cain. Lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers. Every single thing is true being all these 6,000 years of man's history. But in the last days, people are going to be like this, and, verse 5, still hold on to a form of godliness, but having denied its power. That's the thing about the last days. That which is characteristic of the rest of the world is going to come into the church. People are going to be lovers of self and say they are born again. People are going to be lovers of money and say we are born again. People are going to be boastful and arrogant and say we are born again. People are going to be backbiters and say we are born again. And malicious gossips and haters of good and say they are born again, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, spend more time watching television than reading the Bible, but they'll say they are born again. Is that true of anybody here? It's the last days. And right in the middle it speaks about disobedient to parents. Well, children have been disobedient to parents always, in every country, from the beginning of time. But now, it's going to be in godly homes. And what's the reason? The parents haven't taken it seriously. The only commandment God gave to children, honor your father and mother. They can't read when they're small. A two-year-old can't read that it's written, honor your father and mother. Well, you've got to explain to them. This is what God says. They don't know God. They don't fear God. The father and mother represent God to the children. The image of God that your children get is from the way you behave yourself towards each other and towards them. I remember in speaking in one of the churches in the United States, and I was speaking about God being a loving father. And somebody came to me and said, Brother Zach, here in the U.S., you've got to explain what the word father means. Because half the people sitting there, or more than half, have got stepfathers, stepmothers. Their parents are divorced. They've got somebody else. My mother's gone and married somebody else, and that father just treats them badly, abuses them. They don't know what father means. But you know, you don't have to be divorced. You can be an irresponsible father without divorce. You can be an irresponsible mother. And one of the first marks of that irresponsibility is that you don't teach your children to honor their father and mother. In other words, they disobey God's commandment. And you say, it's all right, darling. It's not all right, darling. It's not all right. You better learn to behave. We have to teach them that. Honor your father and mother. Never speak disrespectfully to father and mother or to any older person. Disobedient to parents is going to be specifically true in the last days. So we got to be alert to it. I mean, it's like, if a lion escaped from the zoo and is wandering around this area, I'd certainly like to warn my children about that. It's not like any other time. I read in the papers, a lion escaped from the zoo and is roaming around here. They haven't caught it yet. It's like that. It says in the Bible, in the last days, children are going to be disobedient to parents, so I'm going to be especially careful to make sure that my children grow up disobedient. I remember when my children left home at the age of 18, for college. I told each of them, I said, if you go astray into the world, I will never blame you. I'll blame myself for not having, I had you for 18 years. Moses' mother had him for much less than that. Much less. Probably 5 years, 7 years, I don't know. And sent that boy to the most worldly place on the face of the earth. The palace of Pharaoh, where there was money, pleasure, sin, everything. And yet that boy, when he grew up, it says in Hebrews 11, rejected the wealth of Egypt, rejected the pleasures of sin, and rejected the honor of being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Well, if Moses' mother in the Old Covenant, without the Holy Spirit, without a Bible, could train her child in 7 years, drill it into his head in a way that he'd never forget when he was 40 years old or even earlier. I believe I can do that, and I believe you can do that. We can do it, brothers, sisters. Don't ever say you can't do it. You can do it. We can do it because we got the Holy Spirit, we got the Bible, and we got a church where we have wonderful examples. So let's take that seriously. To bring up our children in the fear of God so that we can raise another generation. I was very conscious of that myself. My wife and I used to pray for our boys that they'll grow up to be witnesses for Christ in their generation. Prayer is the great thing. You know, even though all of my four boys are following the Lord and are married, God-fearing women, I will never write a book on bringing up children because I'm not an expert. And I made many mistakes. But God was merciful. That's all I can say. And if there is one secret of bringing up children, it is this. James 1:5, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, and God will give it to you in abundance. And humble yourself and say, Lord, I don't know how to bring up children. That's what I said. That's what I said all my life. But if you'll be merciful to them, I'll do what I'm supposed to do. I'll spank them when I'm supposed to spank them. I'll love them, care for them, deny myself. But it's you alone who can make them godly. I can't do that. So there's hope for all of us. And even if some of your children are a bit rebellious and going astray, don't give up hope. If two of you agree concerning anything, my Father in heaven, Jesus said, it'll be granted. This country needs witnesses in the next generation. The world needs witnesses in the next generation. And that responsibility lies upon us to raise up not just those who will live good lives, but who will be witnesses for Christ. So please take that responsibility seriously. And remember once again, when we receive a child in Jesus' name, we're receiving Christ. And we say, Lord, give us grace now to bring up this child in a way that will honor and glorify you. Okay, we'll pray. The two children we need to pray for. Thankfully, they are both girls. I praise the Lord. Okay, we'll pray first for Sister Asma's daughter, Samira Grace, right? She's a bit handicapped, so I'll just go down and pray for her. Please join with me in prayer. You won't have the privilege of seeing her if I go down there, so you got to see this girl. Her name is Samira Grace. She's happy to see you. I don't know about you, she's happy to see her. Heavenly Father, we dedicate Samira Grace to you. The blessing of the Lord be upon her. We commit her to you. Thank you for this child, this gift you've given to our dear sister and brother. We pray that she'll grow up to love you and fear you early in life to be born again. Protect her from harm, sickness, danger, and accident. We dedicate her to you, Lord. To your name be glorified through her in her life. She'll be a child of God, a blessing in the home, a blessing in the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, you think she'll have a meek and a quiet spirit as she grows up? When a child cries, he's only saying hallelujah. Remember that. Please remember that. You can't say the word yet, but this is the way she says it. So this girl is Annie Stam Carmichael. I don't know whether you know, Betty Stam was a great missionary in China who was martyred for Christ maybe 70, 80 years ago. Carmichael is Amy Carmichael. Annie, I don't know who that is. God bless you, brother. Lord, we dedicate Annie Stam Carmichael to you in Jesus' name. We pray that she grow up to be a child of God and early in life to be born again. We pray that you'll protect her from harm, sickness, danger, accidents, and help her to be a blessing to her home, to her parents, and to the church. We dedicate her to you, that she'll grow up the desire of her parents, that she'll have the spirit of these godly women. And we pray, Lord, that she'll be a blessing in the church. Give wisdom to the parents to bring her up in the fear of God. We dedicate Annie Stam Carmichael to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, hallelujah.